Hey, welcome, Carm Capriato, Remarkable Results Radio, episode 461. Let me set the stage. Here's a quote from noted author Daniel Goleman. In a study of skills that distinguish star performers in every field, from entry-level jobs to executive positions, the single most important factor was not IQ, advanced degrees, or technical experience. It was EQ, emotional intelligence.
When you show emotional vulnerability and you show your real feelings and under control, and that could be in the passion side of things, the empathy side of things, but when you go to that place with somebody, it's actually bonding. But I'll tell you what, our minds tell us and our culture tells us that that's weakness, and I would tell you that it's absolutely a lie.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, friends, Carm Capriato here, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Hey, Remarkable Results Radio is so proud to partner with Napa Auto Care in the upcoming 2020 Napa Expo. Join Napa in Las Vegas April 6th through 9th at the Sands Convention Center to discover the latest innovations in the auto care industry, and that's where you earn your living. Enrollment's going on right now. I hope to see you there. Contact your Napa store to learn more. Hey, in the business of the aftermarket, you know we are always searching for leadership qualities to take our business and team to the next level. And as I said earlier, it is not necessarily how smart you are, but how you manage you and your team's emotions. Hey, you know I'm on a crusade to get this podcast to as many aftermarket professionals as I can. You know, I receive a steady stream of input, and it confirms the value of our format, the content and wisdom that we transfer. The only way to help more climb the stairs to remarkable results, to help all ships rise, is if you share. Please forward my newsletter or share this episode from your listening app. I know your colleagues will see undisputed value in these conversations and stories that will help shape their success. You know, in the business of the aftermarket, we are always in search of the leadership qualities and training to take our shop to the next level. You know, as we adapt to the ever-changing times, we employ different ways to get things done as efficiently and harmoniously as possible. Now, in the next few minutes, find out how emotional intelligence equates to high-performing teams. My guest is Dan Taylor. He is the Senior Business Advisor of Transformers Institute. He does have the creds to be here to talk about EQ, or emotional intelligence. Now, don't swipe away or stop this episode from playing. This could be the most important episode you've heard in your life. Emotional intelligence, or EQ, refers to the ability to identify and manage one's own emotions, as well as the emotions of others. I invited Dan Taylor to discuss EQ for you and help you discover ingredients to make you aware about the properties of your own emotions and how to incorporate them in relationships and problem solving and to the overall emotional health of your business and your team. And by the way, we will do additional episodes to keep driving into EQ with Dan Taylor. Find the talking points for this episode and Dan's bio at remarkableresults.biz/E461. This is the first in a series of The Power of EQ. Hey, a warm welcome to Dan Taylor, Senior Business Advisor from Transformers Institute. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Carm. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good to have you here. We're going to lay some real heavy stuff on our listener base to all of our friends in the industry. We're going to talk about emotional intelligence. Eek, what is that? Oh, geez, Carm, please. You're always going too heavy on us. No, I'm not going too heavy on you. You're going to need to know this and understand it, because you do know it and understand it, but Dan's going to help bring it into a beautiful light. Dan's got a hell of a resume, by the way. I just can't believe all that you've done in a very short amount of time in your life.
Well, I appreciate that, Carm. Yeah, certainly been great opportunities and been blessed to having been exposed to multiple industries, a ton of time in this industry, which I have a great passion for. And thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, Greg Bunch is who you work with. and you guys kind of hooked up, and I love the stuff that you're doing. And when I found out that you were the EQ guy, that's emotional intelligence with Dan, and you do a whole lot more with him, but you're really trying to help the shop owner really understand more about certain decisions. You know what? I went to this incredible week-long emotional intelligence class, and maybe I'll share a little bit with you later on, and it really changed me. Although I'm a feely kind of guy, I always have been. I've not been a dominant. I've not been a thinker. I've always been a feelings kind of guy. It really hit me in the heart. And I started to realize that every time I went and I bought a car, and I went and I told my friends about it, I always seemed to justify it with logic, but it was really the feeling that I had of how bad I felt inside this brand new car. We seem to buy on feelings. We justify with logic, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, you make a great point, Carm. We think we're very logical and we objectively go through things, but at the very, very core of who we are as human beings, our psychological makeup is that we process everything through an emotional filter first, then we move on to the logical part. So we like to think we're very logical, and when we are, there's no doubt that we sit down and we'll make checklists of pros and cons, and we'll try to objectively tackle things. But at the core of everything we do, and this is a very research-based, scientifically empirical evidence kind of stuff, we run everything through an emotional filter first.
Amazing. And you know what? There isn't anyone who's listening here that would disagree with you. I think they have to, say confession and say, I think he's right. So emotional intelligence, it's important. I guess what I'm here to tell everyone is that you need to find an emotional intelligence class, EQ class, be it something that Dan can provide you or any other person in the industry that's has some qualifications behind him. Oh, by the way, there's so much to talk about. I want to tell our audience that Dan's going to come back and we're going to continue this. We feel that there's enough material to cover over like 3 episodes. So don't feel like if we rushed through anything that you're not going to be able to get this and make it work. Okay. What's emotional intelligence? And then the second part of my question, because I like to do 2-parters sometimes, is will it make me a better leader?
So emotional intelligence is generally said to include at least 3 things, Carm. And for our listeners, it's emotional awareness, or the ability to identify and name one's own emotions. So being in touch with those emotions, the ability to harness those emotions and apply them to tasks like thinking and problem solving, and the ability to manage emotions. So get those under control when they tend to have a life of their own and run off. And I think we all understand what that looks like, which also includes both regulating your own emotions. In other words, you're in touch with your own emotions, but also being able to help coach others through their emotions. And as we know, we're emotional beings. We've established that. And being able to understand where you're at with something emotionally, and then also whether it be a peer or a subordinate or a coworker, however you want to categorize that, to help them understand where they're at. I'll give you just a quick example of what I'm talking about. Last week, Greg and I were doing a SWOT analysis for some great shops that are in expansion mode and have 3 shops right now. And I was talking, all the one-on-one interviews with the employees. And I was chatting with a gentleman, and his body language was, the folded shoulders, leaning up against the wall. You could tell he really didn't want to talk to me and was just doing this because he was asked to do it. And so I picked up on that immediately and went, okay, this guy is really resistant to talking to me. I need to figure out what's going on and break that down a little bit, get his body language where he's at least receptive to what I'm talking about.
You want him to be open.
Absolutely. I needed him to open up about what was going on there. And also from a standpoint of where he felt his potential as a shop foreman was, and what he wanted for his future there. I don't remember exactly what question I asked him, but it was an open-ended question. And he said, I've had a really tough couple years in my life. And my wife passed away 4 years ago. And I have a son who's 17 now, so I'm running the calculations. That means the son was 13 when she passed. He didn't tell me exactly what it was, but I did find out later in the conversation what it was. And I took my laptop, which I was taking notes, and I pretty much just shut it. I gave him the absolute impression. Well, not, it wasn't just an impression. I gave him my undivided attention as a human being to another human being.
Dan, that is so smart. I want everyone to heard what he said. He shut the laptop down, which means you dove in to him on an individual basis, and maybe someone hasn't done that in a long time.
Absolutely. Guy's dealing with some heavy, heavy stuff. He went on to tell me his son had some learning disabilities, and as you know from my resume, I was an elementary teacher, and I have a degree in teaching. So I talked to him a little bit about that and gave him some encouragement. Within a minute or so after doing that, his hands came out of his pocket. His body language, his posture became open. He did get emotional, and that's fine, right? I mean, he's had some tough things to deal with. And then I found out additionally that he had met a gal a year and a half ago or so, and was dating her, and then she came down with cancer. So he had to go through the same cycle again. And I just empathize with the guy. And really try to put myself in his shoes a little bit as to some of the challenges he's been through. And what it turned out is just a great conversation at the end of that. We spent another 15 minutes talking about the shop, and he really opened up about some of his challenges and some of his opportunities. I mean, they had a great program there, and he's excited about his future. But I had to break down those walls of where he was at in his journey through life. And by doing that, we kind of bonded, and it was just wonderful to get him to open up a little bit, and we moved on. And I was able to give great feedback to the owners that this guy feels cared about as a person, and he's extremely loyal to that ownership, because those guys that do own that organization are a great family, and they are emotionally in tune with their employees. So that's just proof, more proof that at the end of the day, you're going to keep people by caring about them. The second part of your question is that, does it make you a better leader? And there is absolute empirical evidence that absolutely great leaders have great emotional intelligence and are always constantly working on refining that skill set and getting better at it. Daniel Goleman has been doing work in this arena for 35 plus years, and he has statistically put some numbers to this, and he states that 66%, or about two-thirds of your leadership skills, and being a great leader, and I want to emphasize that, I'm being a great leader, and I don't know anybody that wouldn't want to be a great leader, is directly tied to emotional intelligence. It's not how smart you are. It's not other attributes or skill sets you have. It is completely tied to this part of leadership, and that's being emotionally in tune with yourself and others and be able to make that bond with folks. And then that bleeds into all kinds of other things like motivation and conflict resolution and just general communication and having team harmony. So it bleeds into a lot of things, and I'm sure our conversation will go there.
Hearing what you said about talking to the shop foreman, I couldn't help but think that everyone has a story.
Yeah, everyone does, right, Carm? I mean, everyone has some part of their journey that has been either a speeding bump, or it could turn into just really tragic things. We had a gentleman a couple years ago that worked with us, and he lost his entire family in a fire. And it was really tragic. And I just tried to connect with him. I've had some of those same things in my life that you just mentioned. And it's just important to bond with people right there in that spot and make sure they know that You're listening to them, you're hearing everything they say, and then the empathy thing.
Everyone who sits across from you that you interview, everyone who works for you, everyone who you work with, they have stories. And no one's vanilla. I guess that's my point. My point is, never treat someone like vanilla. Always treat someone that has an awful lot of things going on in their world, and it could be good. And it could be bad. And then there's this one other thing I thought about, Dan, and that was empathy. You had mentioned that word. Do you ever have people that would come up to you and says, you don't know, you've never lost someone to cancer? How do you respond to that?
One of the things that you have to do, and you'd be doing yourself injustice as well as the person that shared that with you, or that question, is that you've got to stop and say, you know what, you're absolutely right, but I'd like to hear about it. And I care about you as a person, and I'd like to know more about what you've gone through and maybe how I can help you in the future.
It's a great answer. Thank you so much. It's actually what I felt the answer would have been had I been put on the spot. Always be honest with someone and say, I do want to hear about your story. It matters to me. Where'd you get started in exploring emotional intelligence?
Well, I've always kind of been an emotional guy, and I'm okay with that. I'm a passionate person. I wear my heart on my sleeve most of the times, and people know exactly where I'm at. Now, that being said, you also have to harness that and not let it get carried away. I'm a very intense, focused person, and I spent most of the beginning of my career being a high achiever, overachiever, competitive, and those kind of things. And I was working with a client several years ago, and it was in a different industry, and they had about 45 employees or so. And they had a very young office manager who, boy, she and I just, and I was there to help her. I was brought in as the COO of this organization, and part of that was really a growth model, and they wanted to do more things and grow their business. And she was resistant at all times. So I was very tight with the owner. He and I were very close, and a guy who's very emotionally in tune with what's going on. And he said, she's kind of out of bounds. I just need you to leave her alone. I said, well, part of the problem is these big deficiencies in your organizations, or these gaps, are that everything's in her head. And she's very smart, and she's very, very efficient at what she does. But at the end of the day, we are really exposed, in the sense that if she resigned yesterday or something else happened, there is no way we could possibly execute on all the things she does. And we really do need her to start documenting things and putting things, the processes and procedures together, so that we know what she does in case she's not here. And at the end of the day, we ended up actually having to part ways over this interaction with her, this conflict. And I stopped and I thought, wow, I get along with like 44 of the 45 employees here, just phenomenal. And I have one person who's really the gatekeeper to us moving forward, who really doesn't like me as a person. So what part of that do I own, right? And that's part of that emotional intelligence, is at times you got to look in the mirror and reflect and go, what part of this do I own that I need to improve on, that is unhealthy? Either a filter I'm running things through is a skewed view of things. I'm running it through some filter that's not very healthy, or has been tainted by previous things in life. Most of that stuff comes from our childhood. It could be a parent, it could be a coach, it could be the things we know behind the scenes that happen to folks in their journey early in life and even through life. They impact how we look at things, and that's really critical as we're interacting with people. So I stopped, I pulled over, reflected, and took a very extensive emotional intelligence assessment. And I call it an assessment because there's no right or wrong answers to any of that stuff. It's just a pure way of looking at where you're at and where you are in certain categories. And I really scored extremely high. I mean, I was in the 95th percentile, but there was one area that I failed pretty miserably on, and I actually work on it every year as one of my intentions, my own personal intentions, and have for the last 5 or 6 years, and that's ruminating, right? A thought gets in your head or something happened, and then you can't let it go. It just cycles, spin cycle. So I found that very reassuring that, one, as a general rule, I had most of this stuff I did a pretty good job with, but the one thing that I did need to work on was this whole thing with ruminating. So I've been working on that journey, and I've actually had people that have gone through my 2-day workshop on emotional intelligence. And I confess to everybody, it's not a confession, it's just being transparent. I said, hey, this is something I struggle with. I'm working on it. I was in the 44th percentile, and I think if I took the test right now, I'd be in the 55th percentile. So I'm making progress.
Hey, it's Carm to talk to you about how telematics can benefit your Napa Auto Care Center. Now, thanks to Napa's recent partnership with CarVantage, it's easy for you to connect with your customers and help to eliminate their stress over car care. The CarVantage program lets you message customers directly on their smartphone about any action they need to take, and it's all done automatically based on their car's actual health and mileage. It works like this. You provide customers with a CarVantage sensor that plugs into their vehicle and then connects via Bluetooth to their mobile phone. Then the CarVantage dashboard allows you to set up automated marketing campaigns that target customers based on specific triggers, like when they're approaching their next maintenance interval, for example, or whenever a check engine light is detected. Customers, well, they'll receive a mobile push notification and or email when they meet the criteria you specify. You can encourage them to schedule a service or send a coupon relevant to the problems they're experiencing. Now, to make an appointment at your shop, all the customer has to do is select the service, a time, and a date. CarVantage even sends you a snapshot of the vehicle's health prior to the vehicle's appointment so you can plan for the visit. Customers love CarVantage. It gives them peace of mind and the best experience in the market. Plus, CarVantage is free to them. And for you, a special offer. Only for Napa Auto Care Centers lets you give CarVantage a try at a very affordable price. And it even includes free sensors. Other plans and enhancements are also available. Even more important, CarVantage helps you increase customer retention and customer spend. Talk to your servicing Napa Auto Parts store to find out more about what CarVantage can do for your business, plus the hundreds of other things the Auto Care program has to offer. You bring up such a great point, and that is you need to be willing to understand your strengths and your weaknesses and your, you know, the opportunities you can to be better and to work on them. You just described, by the way, in your in the relationship you had at one of your works, exactly what happened to me. Absolutely exactly what happened to me. I was here. The controller was there. I didn't think the numbers were right as I was managing a cash flow issue that we had at a couple of our branches. I basically went to this, if you will, high sensor type person, and I told her her numbers were wrong. And I didn't have any basis except to say, this is a profitable store. I know the manager there. It can't be in a negative cash flow situation. It can't have these inventory problems. It can't have them cash positions. And by the way, I was so wrong. A year later, I discovered I was so wrong, and I should have listened that the numbers were right. But I kept arguing, and I wasn't prepared to respect, if you will, the work that this person and her team was doing. And so I was a bull in a china shop when I should have been kind and gentle and empathetic. And so, boy, did I learn. And again, it goes back to the EQ class that I had. And of course, understanding thinkers, feelers, knowers, and sensors, and how it all works into the Myers-Briggs or the DISC tests. And that is such a key component to know yourself and to accept it.
Exactly. You know, at the end of the day, you have to be okay with who you are, but also decide who you want to be and where you want to go. And obviously the people we hang out with, there's a great amount of research on this. The five or six or seven people that you hang out with the most, that's exactly who you're going to become. So the old adage, you know, birds of a feather flock together. I love working with Gray because he has unbelievably high emotional intelligence. And he's very in tune with all people all the time. And it's just one of his great strengths. And then in my personal life, I have friends, I have very, very close friends, male friends. And, you know, unfortunately in this world, in this culture that we're in, men tend to be lone wolves. We tend to not have very deep relationships. And then we wonder why our wives have these incredible conversations that are in depth and extremely emotionally connected with their closest friends. And it really is a gender thing. I think gals a lot of times just are wired better for this than guys. I mean, we are the warriors. We are the ones that go out and take on life.
So we put up a fence. And I guess the point is that if you get to a class and you commit to being better at this, can you change your life, your world, your people, your relationships?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. I'm living evidence of that. As I shared with you earlier, certainly a very intense, focused guy. I have accomplished some great things in my career as well as my personal life. But that laser focus does put up fences, and you tend to run people over. And I look in my rearview mirror, and there's a wake of people that I have unintentionally, and you mentioned this earlier when you were sharing your story about needing to be more gentle. There's a wake of people that I've hurt unintentionally and had to go back and ask for forgiveness or apologize or make sure that, you know what, I realize I was wrong. But yes, to answer your question, there's no doubt you can make advancements in this arena. The big thing though, Carm, is you've got to decide to lean into it. And that's not easy, right? That is not easy, leaning into life's tough stuff. And I spent, and I'm okay with this, I spent years in counseling. I lost a son to a unfortunate death many years ago. And then I went through a divorce, which is very common when you lose a child. I had some career things that got derailed. And it was life's way of saying, you know what, you're going to stop, take a time out, You're going to lean into some of the way you're wired on the soft wired side and figure out how to be a better person. So I can tell you, I've come just miles and miles, but I've had to lean into that. And that's what typically happens is folks have got to, it's either a watershed event or they're going to incrementally approach things and try to move things. But they've got to have those trusted relationships with people to say, hey, you know, hey, Carm, you're being a little tough on this. From my perspective, could you maybe address that a little bit different? And you and I have to be close enough that you would receive that as not a malicious, a personal jab at you, but that I can, that I sincerely care about your well-being and your improvement and your desire to be a better person.
I love it. I love the word lean into it. Every time I learn something new, it seems to almost be a physical connection that I make with lean into it. And if you're feeling that you need to become, have greater feelings and more emotional, and you can remember lean into it. And sometimes when you lean forward, literally lean forward into a conversation, you connect better, you commit better. And, you know, if you want to be a good listener and huge word picture, wow. So it's really, Dan, not showing weakness to have greater, stronger feelings.
No, it's just the opposite, actually. When you show emotional vulnerability and you show your real feelings and under control, and that could be in the passion side of things, the empathy side of things, but when you go to that place with somebody, it's actually bonding. But I'll tell you what, our minds tell us and our culture tells us that that's weakness. And I would tell you that it's absolutely a lie. The best thing you can do is be honest, like you mentioned earlier, honest with somebody and transparent with your emotions. And if you've got your emotions under control where you understand where they are, and those, there's kind of like four categories of those emotions that come up. And this is one of the reasons why it kind of has a negative connotation all the time. And I'm not a trained, clinical psychologist, but you know, the four main categories are mad, sad, glad, and guilt. Well, if you look at those, mad, okay, that's that. We have just kind of an undercurrent of anger in this country. I mean, and people go, not really. I said, well, all you got to think about is your daily commute, and anybody that drives anywhere and has to deal with that sense of road rage that pops in and out, that is anger, right? That's mad. Sad are those things that happen. They're the grief issues that we talked about earlier with the gentleman that lost his wife and then had to recycle that again with his fiance and was going through the same thing. Those are certainly sad. He had a right to be sad. Glad, obviously you feel energetic, happy, good, things are going well. And then guilt, right? Did you do something that harmed somebody that you shouldn't have done, right? And so we're all built in with those four categories, but three of them have a negative connotation. Typically don't want to go there because those three things are not positive. And I had, I've met people that really only want to deal with happiness, right? I mean, put on the rose-colored glasses. They don't want to hear anything about life other than the good stuff. And that's not a very healthy spot either.
I don't think a glad exists 100% in anything we do, in any relationship we have, in any situation that we could possibly be in. And I'll never forget when I took the week-long class and they tossed up mad, sad, glad, and guilt. I was just so full of emotion trying to remember, geez, I was just mad this morning. And I felt guilty about that. And I was sure sad about this. And what was I glad about today?
Right, right. Well, there's days where there's not a lot of gladness going on. That's a good point.
I can see how we can connect this to being a stronger, better leader in our industry. Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're in tune with your folks, you know, you're able to at least meet them where they're at. And then, encourage them, guide them through, give them affirmations, support them. And it's going to allow them. I had an interaction with a service advisor yesterday. I had an interaction with a service advisor yesterday. And she just said, you know, I'm just worn down. And I said, you know what? It's a crazy busy time of the year. The summer season with the vacations and whatnot and people, covering two and three jobs sometimes at shops. I said, hang in there. You do a great job. And I really appreciate you being there for me. And I have my car in the shop for a coolant leak. So I just, you know, I wanted to reaffirm with her, and she and I go back years and years, so I know her, but you know, it was, yes. And I'm obviously not her shop owner, but as a, I guess, as a bystander.
As a friend, you were helping. So as a friend, wow, how powerful being a good EQ person could be.
Absolutely. Speaking of friendships, we tend to think friendships is, you know, this is where a lot of people get out of balance and it becomes either codependent or it becomes too rigid. And I would submit to you, and this, and we'll get into this in our later series about leadership and culture and stuff. I would submit to everyone listening that all true relationships have this heart component where you care about them as a person, but there's also accountability. It can't be a runaway train with they can do everything to you that's destructive and unproductive and harmful, and yet there's no accountability coming back the other side. So when you use the word friendship, you know, friendships are dimensional, right? They've got that true empathy and you care about that person, you love them, you care about their well-being. And at the same time, you're also holding them accountable for some things that might get them in trouble or things that from a relational standpoint hurt your feelings, that are unjust, words that they use, the actions that they take. So it's a double-edged sword. You need both things. And I think what happens a lot of times when I'm working with folks on leadership development is they have a struggle with it. They care too much about their people and they don't hold them accountable enough, or they're on the flip side of that point and they hold them completely accountable to everything under the sun and it's almost unrealistic and they don't become their friend. So it's a mix and match of both, and it's a balancing act, and over time you get better at it. And as you develop these transparent relationships with your employees, even with your clients, you get to that spot where it's a more balanced, healthy relationship.
Great foundation here in our first episode with you, Dan Taylor. And you just did nicely make a mention that in episode 2 and 3 that we're going to do is kind of build this little series on EQ, leadership and culture. Boy, we've been talking about leadership and culture so much on the podcast. And I'm telling you, I think those are breakthroughs for anyone who can get, you know, up to that bigger, better leadership level and develop the right business culture inside. And no doubt, I think you're going to break the code for so many people on building a great business culture. And that is having a good leader who has a good EQ quotient.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Carmen. I'll tell you, this is also not substantiated by statistics, but the hundreds of shops I've been in, the highest performing shops are always high level EQ shops. The owner has it, the employees have it. It goes from top to bottom, side to side. They're cultures that hang out with each other after work. They care about each other immensely. They care about each other's families, their well-beings. They care about their clients and their well-beings. Everyone is in tune with the emotional component of life, and it makes for a much better place to work from a cultural standpoint, as well as at the end of the day, a more profitable. Some of the most profitable shops in the country that I know of are all very in tune with your emotional intelligence as an organization.
What a great start, Dan. I so appreciate this. I think you helped us understand the value of EQ. Knowing if you're going to be mad, sad, glad, or guilty, there are components in my mind that I'm sure my listener had no idea about. An EQ class, for example, like Transformers Institute does, are they out there, and how easy are they for someone to get involved and to get immersed into this, the depth of really finding your feelings and understanding what to do with them?
We have some classes, I actually call them workshops, and they're very intense for 2 days. We limit the number of folks that are in those classes because of the intimacy of the conversations that go on in there. So we limit that to 12 or 14 participants. We think that anything beyond that, you start diluting that down. You don't get folks to open up. You know, there are classes out there. Some folks would have to do some research, but you know, we also know that if you lean into some of these, and we use that word lean again, get some self-help books that absolutely focus on this. I mean, there's tons of those, and we have a list of things that we provide to our participants of that class, as well as all the leadership stuff that I do in our organization. At the end of the day, what you want to do is you just want to start learning more about yourself. Learning more about what makes you tick, some of the things that have happened to you in the past, research that, or, you know, spend some time on that. And those will get you to that spot where you start understanding what we're talking about here. We're being in touch with your emotions and starting to look through the lens of, well, what is that other person going through? And how can I meet them somewhere in the middle to make sure that he and I or she and I are connecting so that we can move through an issue that's going on or understand why somebody's not doing something that I've asked them to do multiple times and showed them to do it multiple times. What is holding them back? Why are they stuck? Why am I stuck in certain spots? So we spent a lot of time in my workshop. Why are you stuck where you're at? And how do you move beyond that?
Thanks so much. Maybe in one of these subsequent episodes, I will share my story of my week-long EQ class that I went to and my own personal discoveries and how I found a more emotional depth than ever before. And it really did change my world an awful lot. And so I encourage anyone, please let this episode really help change you and go out and get a book or find a class and become a better leader and build your business culture, as we're going to talk about in a couple of subsequent episodes coming up here. Dan Taylor, Senior Business Advisor, Transformers Institute. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Carm, been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.